morning. So we are going to be looking today at the end of Jesus's priestly prayer that we have over the last 5 weeks been digging into, specifically looking to the last three verses. You guys would open up the word with me as we read John 17, 24 to 26. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So again, we've been looking at this passage over the last few weeks, but I think it's helpful to set the context of where we're at, right? This is the moment before Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? This is ultimately the moments leading up to his crucifixion. And we see here that Jesus has a desire. And I'm going to refer to the desires of Jesus as the mission of Jesus as we move forward through this text. And what we know about this book of John, right? This is a moment in which we have seen throughout John the ministry and life of Jesus. And we also can see that emulated through the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus, within his life, was on a mission. And we're going to unpack the text today to really look at what that mission was. But I also see significance in this prayer, that this prayer that he was praying to God the Father was also among his disciples. So Jesus, as he prayed for his disciples, they were present with him. There was a knowing presence, right, that the disciples were there. So this is a corporate prayer. This is Jesus praying to God, but also praying over his people. And as he prays over, there's also this invitation that he has. So as he prayed to the Father, we see this invitation to his people. As I was preparing this text, I was really trying to approach it as uncooked spaghetti. And I'll tell you what I mean, right? So we got the uncooked spaghetti. I can very easily place each piece in a row, and it's clean and ordered, and that's the way I like it. But the more that I looked at this, I'm like, this is not uncooked spaghetti. This is cooked spaghetti, right? This is a mangled mesh of Jesus's mission and three key themes that we continue to see here. We continue to see this desire for unity. We continue to see this love, this shared love. And we continue to see God's glory, right? This desire for God's glory to be seen, to be experienced. So ultimately, Jesus' mission here, it was beautifully orchestrated, a mixture and a mess of all of these things that he desired. And in this text, we're going to look to see this cooked spaghetti. So Jesus had a deep longing for his disciples to be with him, right? We see this in the text in verse 24, this unity. Because of the love that Jesus had for them, there was this deep intimacy that Jesus desired to have with his followers. And because of the love that he has for his disciples, that he has for you, He desires a relationship. Now, we could very easily view this love that he has as the big value of the relationship, but I see that his love is almost the start of this heightened joy that is offered. Because again, we can know his love, but that's not just it. We can feel his love, but that's not it either, right? It's not even getting to experience his love. Ultimately, I see that we can experience his love, and through experiencing his love, we can say that you are amazing. God, you are amazing. Now, what do I mean by this? So when we look to the context of the experiences, right, as Jesus, he was praying to his disciples, these disciples, they walked with Jesus. We see countless examples of them walking with him. And as they walked, they were amazed by what was seen. And this amazement led them to glorify God. We see Jesus answering hard questions. His wisdom is amazing. We see Jesus touching filthy, oozy sores. His compassion is amazing. We see that Jesus raised dead men and women to life. His power is amazing. Jesus predicts the afternoon events. His foreknowledge is amazing. Jesus sleeps during an earthquake and a storm on a ship. His fearlessness is amazing. And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." His words are amazing. So would not the greatest, most Christ-exalted joy be found in watching Jesus day and night and bursting with, "You're amazing"? And yet, in spite of our fallenness, our brokenness, and his amazingness, he desires to have a relationship with us. He desires unity, right? So unity in Christ, giving glory to the Father, that is revealed. And this revealing of God's glory is through the person of Jesus. And this was the driving force of the mission of Jesus, the Son, to bring glory to God the Father. This shaped his life, to bring glory to God the Father. And we see three times he confirms this in this very passage of John 17. John 17, 4, it says, "I glorified you on earth." John 17, 6 says, "I have manifested your name." And John 17, 26, which we'll be looking at today, "I made known to them your name." So the mission and vision define the details of Jesus' life. I think each of us are called to a mission as well, and we're going to talk more about that as we close, but I think often we allow the details of our lives to define us as opposed to the mission we have set to define the details. But Jesus, he came with a mission, and that mission was to bring glory to God the Father. So Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection manifested God's glory and redeemed humanity. So as Jesus sought his Father's glory, God's glory, this is not an earthly glory, this is an eternal, a divine glory that God the Father in heaven shares with Jesus the Son. This glory is shared in unity. And this unity, this existed before time, right? Before Abraham was, I am, as Jesus said. And we see this in the very first verse of John 1:1. Jesus was with God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if we look to John 1:14, we see in that verse that the word, Word, is actually referring to Jesus. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus has been in unity with the Father since the beginning. And because of this unity between the Father and the Son, between Jesus and God, Jesus has understanding or knowledge of the Father. Jesus says to God the Father in verse 25, he says, I know you, that the Word may be known and recognized the Father. But Jesus does, and his mission is to reveal God's name, God's glory to his disciples. He knows that in him knowing, that those who know Jesus may also know God. So again, in knowing Jesus, the Son, you can know God, the Father. And there is transformative power in knowing. Knowing God and experiencing his love. And Jesus, with this love and with this eagerness, lived out his mission, ultimately heading to the cross to die. But that death was not in vain, right? That death led to his resurrection. And that death was with a purpose. That purpose was so that we may be united with God the Father. But why this unity? Ultimately, this unity is so that we can marvel in God. As we experience our Creator, we can glorify him. Jesus lived out his mission to glorify the Father. And this was completed by an act of love for the human race, for you, for me. Again, Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection were so that we could be united with the Father in heaven. This unity is not possible by our own doing, right? We are sinners. We are separated from God because of our sin. We are unable to be in unity with him. We are unable to enter heaven at the end of this life because of our sin. If not for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, again, his mission was that we may be unified with God the Father, to experience his glory. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not because of your sin, though. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was because of his love for each of you, his desire for you to be united. In Romans 5:8, we see this. But God shows or demonstrates his love for us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died because he loved. But don't let the security of your love be the end. I pray that this unity, this desire to be in his glory, to worship his glory, that you would find awe and wonder in serving God. A God who is. A God who is all powerful. A God who is all knowing. A God who is present everywhere. A God who is loving, who is just, who is merciful. A God who is holy. A God who is Trinitarian, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this unity of God. A God who is the source of all goodness, a source of all truth, a source of light. A God that desires a relationship with his creation. We see in verse 26 that Jesus prayed to the Father that his love would dwell in his people, that he has revealed the Father to his disciples. And again, this sharing of God's love. This love can be in you. This love can flow from you. The indwelling presence comes from knowing God. Now, this is not knowing of God. This is knowing God. I'll tell you what I mean here. So some of you, maybe most of you, know of my wife, Amy. She is 5'6", blonde hair. She grew up in Norwood. She actually grew up sitting in this church over in these pews. Some of you may remember that. We have 8 kids that we are currently raising. We drive a 15-passenger van. If you were wondering whose van that is mine. It's not Amazon. Right? So this is knowing of my wife. But do you know my wife? Beyond the observation of what you see in person or catch on social media, have you sat across a table from my wife to understand the nature of my wife, the traits of my wife, the personhood of my wife? Have you lived life with my wife? Right? Have you understood the character, how she handles adversity? In the midst of difficult circumstances, how does she respond? To know my wife, this requires a personal relationship. Likewise, knowing of God, this refers to having an understanding of him, or an awareness of his existence, attributes, and teachings. Now, this knowledge, it could come from reading books. This knowledge, it can come from hearing about him from others. This could come through observing and seeing his presence in the day-to-day. But to know God, this requires a personal and intimate relationship. This goes beyond just knowing facts about God. This involves experiencing his presence and his love and his guidance in your life. Having a personal relationship of your heart and your soul. You seeking to understand his will for your life as you look to live out your mission. Communicating with him, right? Through prayer, through time in the word, getting to know him. And ultimately, this is trust. This is relying on him in all aspects of your life. We see in these verses that Jesus has a desire for his disciples to know God, to have this deep abiding love that is fostered through relationship. We see this intimate knowledge, we see this sharing in love, and we see this indwelling presence of unity, not based on human merit or condition. This flows from the unconditional, sacrificial love of God that is made possible through Christ's death and resurrection. And through an acceptance of this free gift, you can enter into eternal life as you enter into unity with God, receiving the indwelling presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit, empowering each believer to bear witness of his grace and of his truth, empowering believers to boldly live the faith that they are called to. Christ's mission is that you believe in him, that in his prayer for unity here, you experience his love. As you share in that unity, you experience his love, and you are offered the experience of God's glory through a relationship with him. I want to move to some application points for each of you here today. Live like Christ. Glorify God. Model your life after Jesus. Jesus' mission was to glorify God the Father. Are you like Christ? Is that your mission? I pray it is. And if it is your mission, but you do not feel as well as though you are well-intended or consistent in this mission of glorifying God the Father, to really think about what would need to happen, what shift would need to happen for that to be your mission. And again, I had noted earlier, right, the details can define you. If we don't have a clear mission, whether corporation, organization, household, individual, if you don't have a mission that is defining the choices that you make, those choices are going to define you. Again, I've referred to it before and I'll say it again. Oftentimes, the urgent supersede the important, right? The important thing should be the mission at which we are living by. Jesus prayed for his followers. He prayed for you. He prayed for me that we would experience the full measure of joy. Of God the Father. So live out your life in a way in which your mission is glorifying God, that you would reflect his love, that you would reflect his joy, that you would reflect his truth to the people around you. And again, some may have another mission, but Jesus invites you to be a part of God's mission. The gospel and your story and the story of the gospel being your story. Embrace the gospel. Jesus, he has a deep longing for you to be in unity with him, so much so that he came down from heaven and lived among us, giving us examples of how we are called to live, rocking the boat around what people thought was the intent of a relationship, and again, bringing us to a place of the goal of glorifying God. And he went to the cross willingly, and he died for you. He died for me. He conquered death so that we can be unified with God. Without that sacrifice, be near impossible for us to be with him. It would be impossible because of sin. Because we have sinned, we fall short. And every one of us has sinned. But there is hope in the gospel, offered through Christ's love. Number three is to know God and to be known by God. Seek intimacy with him. Jesus expressed his desire for the believers to be with him and to see his glory. Prioritize your relationship with God. How can you, in your life, seek him more intimately? How in your life can you prioritize knowing God? What are some ways in which you can do this? To me, there are applicable ways, right, of gathering in community, hearing a message, being in fellowship, yes, but for you to know God, spending personal time with him, being in the Word, praying over the Word, meditating on the Word. He has revealed himself to us through the Word. God will come alongside you as you look to better know and understand who he is, as you look to grow in your relationship with him. And next is, be on mission. Be love in action. Live out your faith every day. His transformative love can impact the way in which you relate with people. As we move past an individual relationship and look to outwardly live out in community, this community of believers, right? We are called to reflect the unity of God, to love one another. I think that one another, right, being in reference to the church here, as we look to grow in connection and unity and mission for God, but also as we go out and look to witness to others, to share the good news of who Christ is and what he has done. And the ultimate, being united in purpose, for we are better together. There is strength in community. As believers, we share in this unity. It is important that we have unity. It is important that we care for one another, that there is harmony within the church, that we are one with the Spirit. There was a verse from a song written by Peter Schultz. He was a Catholic priest who was serving in St. Brendan's Parish in the south side of Chicago in 1966. And he penned the lyrics to a song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." He wrote this song because he could not find a song suitable to accompany a series of events in which the youth choir was singing. This text, this lyrical piece I'm going to read for you guys, his goal was to connect faith to a group of people, young people, who were disillusioned by the landscape of the American culture. First verse reads, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love." Strength strive for this unity. Love one another as Christ loves us. Let's pray. I invite you guys to reflect on a psalm with me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Lord God, we stand before you in stillness. God, we thank you for who you are, for the glory of who you are, God. God, I pray that each person here, God, would experience your glory. God, I pray for unity of the body as we look to live out Jesus' mission. This mission of giving glory to you. God, I do not know the realities or the circumstances of where everybody is at here today, God, but I pray a willingness. I pray a desire for each person here to want to know you. Not just of you. God, I pray for heart transformation, that as we go out, that we would live according to your mission. God, I pray for a community that is desiring to live out your truth, your love, your joy. I pray for us to be a light. Sometimes it seems like darkness is all around us, God. And I pray that we would seek you in the midst of those difficult times, God. That we would be an emulation of light, of your glory, as we look to go about living our lives. God, I pray as we move to a time of communion and reflection of the sacrifice of Jesus. Pray that we would be called to repent of the areas of our lives where we have failed to live out the mission that you have called us to. And I pray that we would feel your loving arms around us as we reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Thank you and pray this in your name.